Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in count is called Blue Electric Storm, and it is the third day of the Red Earth Wave Spell, and it is Rhythmic Moon Day 6. And that's pretty early on in the rhythmic moon, so I think we're still learning about it, but I'm going to throw out some kind of basic definitions or relatable experience. Just watch what happens in the culture of winter. The culture of winter is very busy because people are trying to stay warm, and the days are very short, so people have to get a lot done in a specified limited amount of time. And then there's this whole fetishization of Christianity and solstice in the form of like the pagan Christmas tree meets Santa Claus, and so much shopping and preparedness for this single day's event that there is just like frenzied activity of to-do lists and beyond, you know, focusing on the minutiae of preparedness, whether it is, again, like actual necessary survivalistic response to the elements and weather changes, crises, or just the habit and the compulsion and the celebration of Christmas and New Year's, I guess, and New Year's as well. So, you know, we go into this time of sleepy hibernation for our animal bodies, and people really ramp up their activity in a certain way and get sick. I think that's pretty common to get sick as we move through winter changes. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to sound like an idiot. People do get sick a lot in winter, but I just mean like stressing out our immune systems because we're not actually slowing down physically to respond to the limited daylight. Every time I podcast or even talk aloud about this stuff now, I'm like, God, I'm starting to be like, you know, someone who's lecturing and positioning herself as a little bit better than, and I probably come off that way in part because I am reluctant to say things that sound like that, but there are things that I believe or observe, and so I have to say them somehow or I won't know what to say. But look, I really get that many listeners, and then many non-listeners, because there's not that many listeners, you know, understand that you get sick in winter because you run yourself around, and that a different way that would be healthier for any of us would be to really actually forcibly alter our schedules to be slower and still as we are sleepier and, you know, limited in our output because we really are like plants reliant on daylight. So why don't I bring it back to sort of like the Zolk'in cycle, so that it's not just me saying it off the cuff. We went through yellow seed and now we're in red earth, and they are occult partners. Yellow seed and red earth have a relationship of their own, those two tribes, that is considered the hidden mystical mystery that underlies everydayness. You know, we all have an occult partner, a power, and that is an element that brings to our lives something unexpected, deeper than surface. And so yellow seed and red earth's not that hard for us to figure out why they have that thing. Like, it's the magic of a seed dropping in the earth and growing. But I am talking a little bit about, like, well, if we're a plant, we're responding to light, and as we go through the solstice and, you know, drop into the fertility of what red earth brings, you know, an evolution that's very discernible, and things move forward in red earth. We plant the seed, and then there is results. There is a growth factor that we can witness in ourselves. And yet, there is not a lot of light for that to happen in a physical way in our lives. So I talk about how you can strengthen your physical body in response to the darkness by making sure that you rest quite a bit in the earth while you wait for the sun to shine strongly and find you deep there, planted in the darkness. I have to say that I didn't feel that there was a lot I wanted to talk about on this podcast, because I am very inward and quiet and still in darkness and sleepy. But I wanted to just, you know, recognize that's happening. And then I want to, you know, jump back to the rhythmic moon and just say the evidence we have of the rhythmic moon after 6 days is, on a surface level, it's all of that busyness of people preparing in different ways for what is coming further forward in the rhythmic moon, i.e. Christmas, i.e. solstice, and the new year, quote-unquote. And then rhythmic is also about making our bodies healthy. Because, why is that true? Because organizing, I talked about that last podcast, that just perceiving that the word organize has organ in it. So when we think about, oh, well, organizing is just like getting our shelves clean or files straightened out or preparedness, to-do lists. But organizing is also elementally making sure that our organs are strong and relying on them. You know, like, to organize is to get into our organs. And that sounds gross, or like, well, she's being really literal, but it's a beautiful metaphor for dropping into your heart, dropping into your breath, clearing your mind, or using your mind, you know, in fundamentally inspired ways. There are other organs that we need to digest well, and we want to make sure our lymph is, you know, in a healthy place, so that we are strong in our immune systems, and so on. You know, all the organs functioning well. So listen to me. I mean, I'm such an ex-like grade school teacher, so I am hammering this stuff home, and you're adults, and I apologize, but, you know, just go through your major organs and see what, oh, there's a correlating way to treat them so they are functioning well. And it is so opposite the to-do list of Christmas preparation. And I am right there with everyone, eating way more sugar than usual. I mean, for me, that means just eating sugar, period. But in any case, to be rhythmic, to be organizing, to be doing that in a way that really would strengthen me, you, for the empowerment that happened in the overtone moon, to be able to sustain until this wave peaks at the planetary moon to come. We would look at our bodies to a degree right now and say, well, okay, so they're really, like, let's go through as many organs as I can figure out. Like, for our hearts to be healthy, we have to not be in fear, which freezes our hearts, and we can, you know, feed that love impulse in different ways. For our heads to be healthy, we have to maybe be you know, feeling that we have access to big picture approaches and not just in the minutia of like, I got to do this and then this and this, and, you know, tightening our tension of how our brain is functioning for our lungs to be healthy and help oxygenize our blood. We need to either be like getting lots of breath through a cardio thing or stilling ourselves so that we remember to breathe deeply. I mean, all of this is just your basic sort of health nick approach to life. For your liver organ to be healthy and functional, it needs to not have tons of alcohol and, you know, and so on and so on and so on. Pancreas, that was mine, because my pancreas got blown out from eating too much sugar when I was little and not little. So when I start eating sugar, I start over, you know, immediately being out of balance. And yet I will, because everyone else is. It's just part of the atmosphere right now. But to organize and be rhythmic, I'm just offering this counterpoint. It's like, have your New Year's resolution in the middle of the natural time year. You know, because we're going to have New Year's resolutions. That impulse is going to be part of what we enter as empathic people, feeling the culture's vibe. It'll be in the resonant moon, in the rhythmic, and then resonant moon. Okay, I think that's enough for now on rhythmic. Wow, I just really clearly had to like let all that steam out. I think I'll be continuing to talk about it through the rhythmic moon, but here we are in the first week of the rhythmic moon, the red week in the east, which is the fire of the mind illuminating like the dawn of an idea of what rhythmic is going to be for us. And so I just had, that's what my flaming mind impressions are. Okay, so we have a few other things going on. It's the red earth wave spell. I mean, I correlated red earth with plant life, with the seed. It is where the seed needs to be to become this shoot that moves back towards the sun. The earth is holding the potency of plant life, and plant life is what sustains us in humanity. And then we are plant-like because we are like everything in the Zolk'in as we move through it. So we who became yellow seeds or accessed the plant inside of us are excited to be in the lush fertility of red earth, where all the nutrients are that are going to make us strong enough to aim for the sun and produce bloom, to be big shade canopies, whatever the seed we planted in the yellow seed time will be different forms of plant growth for each of us. And it doesn't take 260 days. That's what's cool about yellow seed, is that it's not gestation in the human womb. So it's different. And red earth, one of the words for red earth, the wave spell, the tribe, is to evolve. And so things do, they don't move quickly like a breakneck pace, but they shift like a cruise, you know, like at the cruising altitude of a plane, the cruising of a large old car on the freeway. I mean, whatever a spaceship, it's all, whatever it is that moves steadily, it's sort of like what carries us somewhere. That's what the earth is. And I think that through the 13 days we'll just find ourselves not transformed like a storm moment, but just ushered in. We arrive somewhere different. We arrive at the destination. Red earth also has a lot of synchronicity, and I haven't really observed that in my life yet. I'm waiting for that to start pinging, you know, like, whoa, that's happening. Like, synchronicity is so foundational to natural time. It's why a lot of us are on board. Because what is synchronicity? I mean, Carl Jung coined the phase, and he is a superhero of mine, but what it feels like, at least to me, and perhaps that's sort of universal, is just like, wait, those two signifiers of those two things that are connected but arrived randomly in my life that then made my mind, you know, either just behold them and feel like the connection and the resonance, and that there is a mystical backdrop to everything, that just these two things, or the two things that I'm witnessing that are connected but arrived randomly, remind me of this whole other thing, the third thing. I just think that with the way I'm explaining it is really unclear. So let me use an example back to grade school teaching. Well, I mean, this is actually a personal example, but I don't know if it will be any more clear. But I have a friend who loves golf, and I don't love golf, so there's not any way for me to access, like, I'm not going to go golfing with this friend in order to understand how much he loves golf. Like, that's not the angle. But when I walk my dogs in places where there is no golfing anywhere near, and we find golf balls, I will think of, you know, all the different synchronicities that are involved there are that I'm somewhere where there's nobody playing golf, and then there's golf balls in the long grass, and my dogs have found them. And then the third thing, that's one thing and two, the third thing is thinking about the friend. Boy, I'm not erasing this part because I began it with, the synchronicities are not that strong yet in Red Earth. So my example, it feels shoddy and also unclear. I haven't arrived at clarity yet. I apologize. But, you know, that mundane example means so much to me, and it's why I follow natural time. And I don't even think that was actually a natural time, you know, demonstration of layered synchronicities using the tribes or the tones, but they happen all the time, you know, so readily, so constantly. I think the example I give a lot is that I will dream about people when it's their Mayan day, or whether it's a tribe or tone or their exact birthday. Like, it happens a lot. It happens, I want to say all the time, but that's an extreme statement. It happens most of the time, and it's fantastic, because dreams are something I'm truly not controlling. Okay, I want to thank everyone for bearing with me. Podcasting has become a little bit tricky in the plant life time, in the yellow seed wave spell. Red Earth's not necessarily gotten better yet. My brain is small and slow because it's dark out and I haven't had enough chlorophyll, you know, haven't created any chlorophyll. Okay, so let's shift to present time, because I have some present time stuff. And I have, you know, a disclaimer that I often podcast the day before so that the podcast is up for people on the day. So part of what we're hitting here with my communication issue, I feel that I have a communication problem, is that I'm podcasting from White Lunar Mirror. So let's revisit that. White Lunar Mirror is the second day of the Red Earth Wave Spell. We get to be back in the grand teaching of sacrifice. Every one of us yesterday faced a challenge that felt like something was being taken away from us. I will give an example of that, because mine wasn't like heartbreak. It was just, it's lunar. The lunar tone is, you know, it takes away and separates into a different pile. So on the magnetic tone, we talk a lot about, you know, attracting our purpose. But the other thing that is the other word that Jose Arguelles came up with for the magnetic tone and the anglicization, the modernization of these calendars, was to unify. So everything is in unity, and then it's polarized in the lunar tone. So I felt so whole. Sometimes we can feel overwhelmed in the magnetic tone, you know, but we had a magnetic day and a magnetic year, of course, red magnetic earth, and I felt a kind of like cohesion. And then on White Lunar Mirror, it was sort of like, whoa, I just lost half of whatever I was feeling in unity and in wholeness on the first day. And it's almost like standing somewhere and then, you know, 2 feet away, the cliff, you know, takes away the whole platform of earth that you were maybe going to walk on. And there's a sense of nakedness or vulnerability. And I found that in White Lunar Mirror. And I also find that, you know, everything we know about White Mirror being about a sacrifice, it's also got the word endlessness. And so we get into like depressive glitches, I think, on White Mirror sometimes, where it's like, you know, the funhouse mirror, I can't figure out where my boundaries are, or I don't know where to go because everywhere I go, I see myself, you know, I can't get away. And then finally, that whatever we're experiencing in White Mirror feels endless. So if we're experiencing like a moment of crystalline joy, that can feel like it's not ever going to end. More often than not, White Mirror is taking something away from us, and we don't feel the joy until the afterbirth, afterwards, not the moment when someone takes something from us that we were holding, that we thought we liked. It's not like, oh, that's great, the surrender. I mean, that's what drugs are for, to alter your mind so that you're like, yeah, take it all. You know, everyone gets naked, and, you know, extreme behaviors happen when we're in an altered state because we don't mind losing everything. But many of us will hit the inquiry or the request, you know, the request from the divine world that we lose something. Many of us, our first response is disappointment or resistance. No, I'm holding on. That's mine. Or what? Why do you? God, people are always taking my things. Again, it hurts so bad. I haven't even recovered from the last time something was taken from me. So not only is it hurting for now, but I'm reminded of when this happened before. So I don't think of White Mirror as joyful and endlessly joyful. I think of it as one of those test days for our social programming. And White Lunar Mirror, I mean, just can't get more that than White Lunar Mirror, but we made it. We made it through. I'm going to talk about politics for just a few heartbeats here. So Donald Trump constructed this lunatic on a lunar day. He threw out his 6-page, you know, manifesto, a manifesto about why what's happening to him is the worst thing that's ever happened to anyone. Thank you, narcissism. And I just mentioned that because it was like such a perfect play for White Lunar Mirror, is for him to sacrifice himself publicly, you know, on his pen. And then today, Blue Electric Storm has a few significant elements. So if he's impeached today, which is a big thing in American history for sure, he will be impeached in his energy, electric. He's in a blue electric hand. This is Blue Electric Storm, so it's not like his guiding day or he's not the guide, but it's right there. It's blue and electric. And so kind of in the, it is the truth of him. You know, it's happening in a time that perfectly reflects him, but it's Blue Electric Storm. And we had a Blue Electric Storm year. It was when Obama was elected. That whole year, because election years are always blue storm years, so the whole year from July 26, I was trying to remember, 2008, we can remember that. July 26, 2008 till July 24th, 2009 was Blue Electric Storm in the 13-year wave spell. And tomorrow's Blue Electric Storm. So there is just a lot of, like, this feels like divine balance to me, that in Trump's essence, he needs to be impeached. It may not affect, you know, anything about his life, and he might be reelected because of it. But he, you know, it's elemental for him. So we get to watch and see, spectators, like, oh, his endless journey, you know, here's another thing. It's his antipode wave spell. Blue hand is opposite red earth. And so for him, it's his challenge time. So that's funny. That's just kind of funny in a dark, fun way, vengeful way. Like, no, you're antipode. Okay, but please take a step back in time to the feeling of Election Day when America elected its first African-American president. what that felt like. I don't, maybe you weren't alive. Maybe you're not American, but it was really lovely. It was a really lovely feeling of happy tears. So we can just notate that today is a revisitation of, I think that was the most important thing that happened in that year in the world. I mean, that's not fair. Maybe you had a baby, but you know what I mean? Like culturally, historically, think that that year from 2008, 2009 was the most memorable thing. And here we are drifting back to that for a moment. That's like a synchronicity, you know? I gave you some synchronicities in my discussion here about politics because it's synchronic that it's Trump's antipode. It's synchronic that it's his tone and his blue Western color tomorrow. It's synchronic that for someone who was so against Obama, is so against Obama, we get to have the coalescence of the impeachment of one president with, you know, the commemorative election of another. But I wish for you to have synchronicities in your own life that feel like jingly jangly, you know, that there are fairies and sprites that take care of everything and make life magical. That's what it's all about. So moving into the next few days, on the rhythmic moon, we don't really transit a lot. We transit into the second week, which is the north on Friday. We are going to follow blue electric storm. Well, it's a blue storm day. You know what that means, right? It is what got stultified and sort of and stuck in White Mirror, being in the funhouse, being held up in sacrifice, being caught in the feeling state of despair or discouragement because something is being taken from us, something disappears, we're lost without it. This is all going to get churned into an emotional context in Blue Storm because Blue Storm wants to elicit from tension, motion, and fiery breakthrough from condensation, you know, all these water molecules that want to explode and alight the sky with lightning. That happens in our lives, in our bodies, in our beings today. We're asking how we can best be of service in this blue, in this red earth wave spell. That's today. And then tomorrow, which I think is the 19th of November, it's Thursday, we will be in yellow sun, yellow self-existing sun, which is the joy that we didn't find when you took away what I wanted on White Mirror through the process of Blue Storm, the shake-up, the release of tension. I get to the yellow sun moment of like, well, okay, I didn't need it, and I feel happy because now the sun is shining on me, and whatever I was holding on to was shielding me from a bit of sunlight. And again, self-existing, we went through that moon coherently together. The question is, what form will my service take? And then on Friday, it's red overtone, dragon. So we start another dropping down from the top of the Zolkin column to the bottom. We start at red dragon and we'll be like overtoning out, which is, again, empowering ourselves back to the maternal divinity that Red Dragon represents. And I want to just, you know, allude to solstice because I will not be podcasting. Winter solstice will be then white rhythmic wind. It'll be a rhythmic day within the rhythmic moon. So it's a magic turtle day. And there's going to be communication that happens on that day. And I don't know if it'll be windy. One thing I want to say is that white wind, the word, is the same in Mayan for tree. And that's because they have a relationship that, you know, one demonstrates the other. The wind is seen through the movement of the trees. So if you wanted to really get into it, you could spend some of your solstice day in the forest, in the trees, barren of their leaves, or maybe there's an evergreen forest. Maybe it's just a tree. But white wind doesn't always have to be about wind and the invisible world and communication. It can be what the wind moves. And here's something really ancient. And trees are kind of still related to plant life. I seem to have this obsession with the phrase plant life right now. Thanks for tolerating it. Thanks for listening. Check out the website, resonanttruth.com. I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, In Lakesh.